As you see in your bulletin, the title of today's message is Woe to Them Who Call Evil Good. That's been in my mind for these days, these last days, as I read in Christian publications as I hear some news on radios or whatever. The recent events in America and around the world have reminded me of the words that God told Isaiah in chapter 5, verse 20, when he said, Woe to those who call evil good and good evil. And so we're going to think about that this morning just a little bit as we look at Romans chapter 1. But if you remember in Isaiah, the first several chapters, God came to Isaiah and he told Isaiah, tell my people, tell the children of Israel, they're not walking with me. They're not listening to me. They're not paying any attention to my commands. And he gets to chapter 5, verse 20, and he says, Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe to those who are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. And that's what's been going on in my mind lately as I contemplate Western civilization and America. Woe to those who call evil good. Now let me point us to Romans chapter 1. I think you're pretty familiar with Romans chapter 1, but let me pick it up at the 16th verse, which is a tremendous verse for us to be reminded of. Paul is writing to the church of Rome, and he says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. I am not ashamed of this good news about Jesus. It is the power of God at work, saving everyone who believes, the Jew first and also the Gentile. This good news tells us how God makes us right in His sight. The good news of Jesus, the gospel message of Jesus, he said, tells us how God makes us right in His sight. This is accomplished from start to finish by faith. As the Scripture says, it is through faith that a righteous person has life. And then we get to verse 18. I want to look at that in the following verses for a few minutes. He says, But God shows His anger from heaven against all sinful, wicked people who suppress the truth by their wickedness. Now listen to 19 and 20. They know the truth. People. He's just referred to people. He's going to refer to people. He's referring to people. They know the truth. We know the truth, he says, about God because he has made it obvious to them, to us. For ever since the world was created, people have seen the earth and the sky. Through everything God made, they can clearly see his invisible qualities, his eternal power, and his divine nature. So they have no excuse for not knowing God, Paul says. To us, and to them, and to those prior. They know the truth about God. We've seen His handiwork in the heavens. We've seen His handiwork around us in everyday life. He says we've seen the earth and the sky and everything He's made. And we have no excuse for not knowing God. Yes, He said, people, they knew God. Excuse me, but they wouldn't worship Him as God. There's a great difference. To say, yes, yes, preach, I know about God. I know God. There's a great difference to say, I know about God and worship Him as God. Paul says the people knew God, but they wouldn't worship Him as God or even give Him thanks. And they began to think up foolish ideas of what God was like. As a result, their minds became dark and confused, claiming to be wise. They instead became utter fools, and instead of worshiping the glorious, ever-living God, they worshiped idols made to look like mere people, and the birds, and the animals, and the reptiles. He says quite simply, instead of worshiping the Creator, they started worshiping the created. And here's what he says, So God abandoned them to do whatever shameful things their hearts desired. As a result, they did vile and degrading things with each other's bodies. They traded the truth about God for a lie. So they worshipped and served the things God created instead of the Creator Himself, who is worthy of eternal praise. Amen. That is why God abandoned them to their shameful desires. Even the women turned against the natural way to have sex and instead indulge in sex with each other. And the men, instead of having normal sexual relations with women, burned with lust for each other. Men did shameful things with other men, and as a result of their sin, they suffered within themselves and the penalty they deserved. Now, quite honestly, we know what he's talking about here. He's talking about same-sex relationships. He's talking about homosexual relationships. But that is not all that he is talking about here. For he says further, since they thought it foolish to acknowledge God, he abandoned them. People. Us, perhaps. To their foolish thinking and let them do things that should never be done. Their lives became full of every kind of wickedness, sin, greed, hate, envy, murder, quarrelings, deception, malicious behavior, and gossip. They are backstabbers, haters of God, insolent, proud, and boastful. They invent new ways of sinning, and they disobey their parents. They refuse to understand. They break promises, are heartless, and have no mercy. They know God's justice requires that those who do these things deserve to die, yet they do them anyway. Worse yet, they encourage others to do them also. Paul is speaking to the church at Rome, but he could be speaking to the people before Noah. He could be speaking to the people of Sodom and Gomorrah. He could be speaking to the people at Rome, which he was, or at Corinth, or some of the other churches at that time, or he could be speaking to us today. It's all relevant. And I wonder, as I listen and hear and read the things that I hear and read and listen to in today's society, I wonder about this phrase that God said to Isaiah, to his people, woe to those who call evil good. This last Sunday, on most of your television, or some of your television networks, there was a contest, a pageant, if you will. I thought it was Miss America. I'm told it's Miss USA. Actually, I was corrected a third time. I was told it was Miss Universe. Then I was told no, it was Miss USA. So now I'm not quite sure what it was. Except for there was a contest, and there was in fact a pageant. And I did not see it, but I've heard plenty of fallout from it. And how this Miss California has been getting raked over the coals this week by many for the answer that she gave. She was just asked a question. I will read for you a quote from Fox News. When asked by Judge Perez Hilton, an openly gay gossip blogger, whether she believed in gay marriage, Miss California said, "We live in a land where you can choose same-sex marriage or opposite. And you know what? I think in my country, in my family, I think that I believe that a marriage should be between a man and a woman. No offense to any of those out there, but that's how I was raised." That was her answer. Keith Lewis, who runs the Miss California competition, tells Fox News that he was saddened by her statement. As co-director of the Miss California USA, he says, "I am personally saddened and hurt that Miss California believes marriage rights belong only to a man and a woman." Said Lewis in a statement, "I believe all religions should be able to ordain what unions they see fit. I do not believe our government should be able to discriminate against anyone, and religious beliefs have no politics in the Miss California family." End of quote. Then why did he ask her opinion? And another headline this week saw an African American lady fired from her job for simply saying the idea, this idea of civil rights now is being thrown out too today and applied in many different ways. And this lady from Ohio, I believe it was fired for saying that this idea of same-sex marriage is not a civil rights issue, was her quote. And she was fired. Civil rights, I think we have a pretty good idea what that is. And she does, certainly. She was through it. It applied to her and affected her. And I was wondering about all these things, and now you maybe see why the phrase, woe to them who call evil, comes to my mind, and evil good. Sin, this is not a quote from this young lady that was fired, this is my quote, sin is not a civil right. Not for me, not for you, not for humanity. Sin is not a civil right. Yes, Paul says, I can do all things, but not all things are lawful for me. Not all things are good for me. I can choose, I guess, to do whatever I want. But if I am a follower of Christ, God has an expectation of me. And I wonder about this civil right thing. And my quote would be, sin is not a civil right, but I'm starting to wonder, in America, is it? Maybe it is. Per our governments, per our judges, some, and leaders, some. Woe to those who call evil good, God said to Isaiah, when his people turned their back on him. And I wonder, where are the followers of Jesus today? Where are God's people in Western civilization today? I'm wondering, has sin become okay in our circle? Have we turned a blind eye to sin and called it rights? Remember what Paul said to the Romans, since they thought it foolish to acknowledge God, he abandoned them to their foolish thinking, and all manner of wickedness prevailed. All manner of wickedness. I'm saddened. And tired, exhausted, if you will, by the inability of the Christian voice to make a difference and be heard in America today. I'm reminded of the words of Jesus in Revelation 2 to John, who was to write to the church at Ephesus, that said, to the angel of the church of Ephesus write, those things says he who holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks in the midst of the seven golden lampstands. I know your works, he says to American Christians, to the church today. I know your works. I know your labor. I know your patience, and that you cannot bear those who are evil. And you have tested those who say they are apostles and are not, and have found them liars. And you have persevered and been patient, and have labored for my name's sake, and have not become weary. But nevertheless, he says to the church at Ephesus, nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Their first love was Christ. I was telling the service this morning that last Sunday night we saw in one of the segments of the Truth Project that we're watching on Sunday nights, we saw how our founding fathers were steadfast in their relationship to God. They were steadfast in their vision for the future of this nation. That's why and that's when they put the slogan, on our money. You know what it says? In God we trust. Because that's what they were doing, looking to our Heavenly Father, trusting in Him, not trusting in ourselves. And we saw how real and how vivid our founding fathers hung on to that phrase. It even showed in there in one segment how Benjamin Franklin, who was a great man, not necessarily a Christian, was in that declaration period, was in that drafting period of the Declaration and some other decisions that they were to make, and they were wrangling and they were wrestling, a little bit like our legislators do today, I suppose. And Ben Franklin stands up, who's not known to lead the place in prayer, not known to bring his Bible, where many of them did. And he says to them, brothers, It's time we look to the Father. It's time we put our trust in Him like we said we're going to. It's time we start to seek Him in prayer for these decisions. And I wonder how this application to Ephesus fits to society today that says, nevertheless, I've got this against you, Jim or John or church people or America. I have this against you. You have left your first love. You've got out front and you put Jesus in the back of the bus, he's telling them. You want to do things your way. You have left your first love. You knew me, he said. And then he goes on to say, remember, therefore, from where you have fallen. I like the King James. It says, remember the heights from which you have fallen. And repent. Repent. And do the first works, or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent. And I wonder about those types of scripture in application to today. And I wonder, people of God today, followers of Christ, are we followers of Jesus? Are we followers of the world? Followers of the world will not be part of the kingdom of heaven. We have a choice to either be followers of Jesus or say, I'll take the world. And please forgive me, I'm not condemning people. God wants people to come to Christ and live with Christ and walk like Christ and be led by the Spirit. But he does condemn sin. He condemns sin through the entire pages of his book. And I'm wondering today, when I think of woe to them that call evil good and good evil, I'm wondering, is that where we've gotten in our society today? Is that where we have gotten it in our churches today? And I know the arguments. You say, Jim, well, this is just one little old Miss Universe pageant. Or Miss USA, or whatever she was. But it's not. It's not just one little old competition last Sunday night. Our children cannot openly pray in school. Oftentimes, I've read of way too many accounts where our children get chastened for turning in a project that has the name of Jesus on it. Our children, our young people, our young adults who go off to college are belittled and ridiculed and made a mockery of if they claim the name of Jesus by their professors over and over and over. I can read you endless accounts. It's not just a Miss Universe pageant. A lady who was a Christian, who had a Down syndrome baby, who was pro-life, decided to run for vice president of the United States or something. Maybe she didn't decide. Maybe she was just pulled into it. I don't know. And we tore her apart for her stance on Christianity. Woe unto those who call evil good. Ladies are fired in America today, apparently, for saying same-sex agenda is not a civil rights issue. Two more states and the District of Columbia have approved same-sex marriage and have called it legal. Two states in our nation now allow physician-assisted suicide. 17-year-olds, you saw it this week, 17-year-olds can now go to the counter uptown and buy the morning after pill as they're buying aspirin. 40% of our marriages today will be affected by adultery. You say, Jim, is that in the church or is that out the church? That's in the church. You heard it this week on Focus on the Family if you were listening to Christian radio. And brothers and sisters, I'm hearing woe unto those who call evil good and good evil. That's what I'm hearing from the Lord. My heart breaks when we think we know better than God. My heart breaks when I listen to people in weeping of the sin that they have fallen into. My heart breaks when I read of young people just seeing the fury unleashed upon them because they might raise their hand in a college class in philosophy with Plato or Socrates, and they might raise their hand and say, but what about the teachings of Jesus? And the fury of the professor is just unleashed on them. Woe unto those who call evil good and good evil. He gives us very clear direction in Ephesus, and we're reminded in Romans, and we're reminded in Isaiah, to repent and get right before God. Father in heaven, we just come before you again and repent. We repent with heavy hearts, O God, at what this wonderful nation who said, in God we trust, what we have turned to. We have turned to serve the creature more than the Creator, and we repent. We have turned to serve ourselves more than our Heavenly Father, and we repent. God in heaven, forgive us. In America and in the church, for not allowing you to be God. Forgive us, O God, for thinking we have the better answer, for thinking we have the better way, for thinking we have the freedoms, for thinking we are justified in doing this or that or the other thing. Forgive us, O God, and help us to be your people. If we have claimed the name of Jesus today, Father, I pray that we, if we need to, we would repent before you and get right with you and take the warning that you gave, Jesus, that you gave this young lady that was thrown in your midst when you said, neither do I condemn you, but go and sin no more. I pray that we would recognize today in our churches, in our families, and in America, there is forgiveness of sin, but there is instruction too, and it says, go and sin no more. God in heaven, forgive us for turning back to the wallow of sin over and over and over. And forgive us, O God, as a nation who have called evil good. Forgive us for that today, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.